Yeah.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host. Today is Saturday, September 19th, 2009, and I'm very, very happy to be with you today. Special good morning to my friends in Florida listening on the Eagle 104.3 FM, and good morning to my friends listening on LWRN.net. That's the Liberty Works radio network. And giving the many blessings God has bestowed on our country, I always dedicate my show to our Father in heaven. So let's start the show by praying as Jesus instructed us in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Well, my listeners are probably well aware that our country is in deep trouble, and I urge everyone to fervently pray for God's blessings on our country. Let's redouble our efforts to obey His commandments, especially refraining from taking the Lord's name in vain. And as always, I'm coming to you live, courtesy of the Liberty Works Radio Network, and we who practice liberty and promote liberty know that liberty works, and that's the name of this radio network, Liberty Works. LWRN.net is where you can go to listen online, and it's also where you can go to join the Liberty Works family and to donate to this great radio work that we do here. I always encourage my listeners to have a pen and paper handy. We always try to give you important information primarily comes from very important, knowledgeable guests. Today is no exception. And so get that paper and pen ready. For those who are new to the show, I'm a former IRS Criminal Investigation Division special agent. No longer work for the IRS because during the last 2 years of my service there, I investigated claims and research that others had made about the legality of the IRS administration and enforcement of the federal income tax system. And I concluded that the claims they made about the federal income tax, namely that the tax laws as passed by the U.S. Congress, do not require most Americans to file their federal income tax returns and pay federal income tax, was actually true. And coming to this conclusion obviously caused my IRS career to end rather abruptly in 1999. And I've been speaking about my experiences and conclusions regarding the federal income tax and other liberty-related matters ever since. Featured in a movie called America, Freedom to Fascism, and highly recommend that you check that out. You can type America, Freedom to Fascism into any search engine and watch the movie for free, or you can go to freedomtofascism.com. And for those who haven't spelled fascism in a while, it's F-A-S-C-I-S-M. Well, my guest for the first hour is congressional candidate Robert Broaddus. Robert was born in Washington, D.C. He's a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy. He's traveled to over a dozen foreign countries. And now there's much more to his biography, but I'll let him take care of that. He's also a candidate for Maryland's 4th Congressional District. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joe.
Thanks for coming on. By the way, Robert's website, we'll try to say it throughout the hour, is www.justiceandliberty.us. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Excellent. Well, I'd certainly like to get into your campaign, Robert, and you know, what you believe in, what you would fight for. But I am curious, you were at the 9/12 protest, celebration, rally, whatever you'd like to call it,
and wouldn't mind you telling me and the listeners how that went.
Oh, certainly. That was a really great event, and I hope that some of the people listening were able to go as well. Glenn Beck and FreedomWorks and several other organizations put out the call for us to get together on 9/12, sort of memorializing how we felt right after the event of September 11, 2001, country coming together. But also, it was an event where we were able to go out and express how we felt our government was doing. And we were united. It was peaceful. It was a wonderful event. There were great speakers. And the main recurring theme was that a lot of us were upset that the government is not listening to us, that we're not getting the representation that we ought to be getting in government. And you saw a lot of people there from the Liberty Movement, a lot of people there expressing conservative values and concern for the direction that our country is going, because we're going away from a country of freedom and towards fascism, as you mentioned in the title of the movie. And we basically want our country to be what it was designed to be, which is a country where liberty is preserved, not a socialist state.
There was some, maybe there still is, some debate about the number of people, and I can't expect you being on the ground to be able to know, but you know, I've heard estimates as low as 60,000, and then the estimates as high as 2 million. Was it just a huge number of people?
Oh, yes, it was huge. I've been actually going to the Tea Party since they started back in February, and I've been glad to see these kind of events get larger and larger every time. This was easily the largest event I've ever seen in D.C., probably with the exception of Obama's inauguration. Now, if you look at the pictures from Obama's inauguration, the crowd stretched from the Capitol to the Washington Monument. This crowd stretched from the Capitol probably halfway to the Washington Monument. And I know that because there was another event that they had put on called the Black Family Reunion, and they had their tents set up right at about the halfway point. So the crowd didn't stretch there, but it did stretch around the Capitol. So there were thousands and thousands of more people that were not actually in a direct portion of the mall who would also be counted. So if you have an idea of how many people went to Obama's inauguration, cut that in half, and that's probably how many people were at the 9/12 march. I would put the number easily at 1 million. 60,000 is way too low. So again, it was the largest gathering of conservatives that I've ever seen.
I see. Now, I think I heard, was it former President Carter was saying that, well, I'm paraphrasing, but I believe he was saying that basically all of this flack that President Obama is receiving is due to racism. Did you see that there at the 9/12?
none at all. None at all. And I have to apologize. President Carter went to my school, the Naval Academy. He's a nuclear engineer. I would expect a lot better from someone with as much intelligence as he has. But he even misquotes one of the signs. The sign said, bury Obamacare with Kennedy. And sort of a pent-up angst between anger at Ted Kennedy for the Chappaquiddick incident, mixed with the idea that we don't want the healthcare platform that Obama is proposing. But President Carter misquoted that and said, bury Obama with Kennedy, which is taking everything out of context and makes it sound like a death threat, which it was not ever intended to be. So here we have the liberal left, of course, twisting the argument and making it about race when it's not about race at all. So I really regret that he went that route. I think that he and I think there's another congressman from Georgia who are making similar statements. They're making the whole debate about race. It's not about race at all. The 9/12 march wasn't about race. It was about our genuine discontentment with what our government is doing, the fact that they're not listening to us, and the fact that they are trying to push a socialist health care plan on us that violates all principles of the Constitution and the ideas that America was founded on. And it should be natural to think that the American people would resist this kind of thing. So to turn around and blame it on racism is simply scapegoating. They're trying to misdirect the argument and make it about race because Obama happens to be an African American, but it's not about race at all.
Yeah, I almost have to believe that they, you know, politicians have been known to use certain tools, you know, just for their advantage, even if it's not really true. And it seems like they're, you know, they claim that others might pull out a race card or have everything be about race, but it seems like they have that in their own arsenal to use to somehow deflect constructive criticism and, you know, truthful and facts regarding why the healthcare system would not be a good thing for this country.
Right. And it's kind of telling that you don't hear Obama making these arguments. You don't hear Obama running around saying, they're only criticizing me because I'm black. He's letting other people do it. He's letting white politicians pull out the race card. And that's to tell you two things. Number one, Obama's trying to stay above the fray, but he doesn't mind using these Alinsky-style subterfuge tactics of it putting in doubt in the minds of the American people and allowing them to call everyone who is a conservative, everyone who has questions about Obama's agenda, a racist, just because they don't happen to be black. Well, I'm black, and a lot of the people at the 9/12 march were black. Kenneth Gladney, who was you know, handing out Don't Tread on Me flags, but was beaten up by SEIU thugs, was black. So there are a lot of people who disagree with Obama's policies who are not racist at all. And in fact, themselves are black and are being targeted by the liberal left because the liberal left can't win the argument on the merits. They can't win the argument that America should adopt these policies. So instead, they're pulling out the race card, just as you said.
Well, it's generally a sign that they have no game, so to speak, when dealing with this particular issue. But, you know, many issues. I like your website, and I visit it again for the listeners. It's justiceandliberty.us, and I noticed the various people that you put there as your, I don't know if heroes is the right word, but I mean people that you admire from past history. So you have Coach Hagler. Now that was your coach from his high school.
Football in high school. He was a defensive coach, and he was also the coach of my junior varsity team. So I saw a lot of success under him. He instilled in me a lot of values. In fact, all of my football coaches over the years instilled in me a lot of good sportsmanship values, a lot of good teamwork values. I wish that every athlete that we saw today had as good a coach as I did and had those same values. But Coach Hagler impressed me a lot because every day, for some reason, he would say, John Brown, over something. You know, he would get upset or happy or whatever, and he would just shout out John Brown. And I was like, who is this John Brown guy? And John Brown, for those who don't know, was an abolitionist.
Robert, we're going to a break and you can't hear the music, so why don't we, when we come back, Robert's going to explain about who John Brown is, a very important figure in our history,
And we'll be right back with the Freedom Above Fortune radio show, freedomabovefortune.com.
Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Norman Rockwell didn't create the best in us. He just inspired the best. You've seen the paintings. The Thanksgiving turkey being served at Grandma's. The weathered farmer sending his baby-faced son off to college.
Now be sure and write.
The wise police officer sitting at the soda bar talking a young boy out of running away from home.
Where are you going?
Norman Rockwell didn't create the best in us. He just inspired the best. Inspiration. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Liberty Works Radio Network.
It's the truth that no one else will say. The radio.
The philosophy of Barack Obama is predicated on one simple notion, and that's that it's okay to take from one person to give to another.
It's okay to take from one person to give to another.
He's the evil conservative saying what America's thinking.
Barney Frank, Tim Geithner, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid. I want to know who's controlling these Muppets. Who's controlling these Muppets?
Truth to power.
It's the truth that no one else will say on the radio.
Only one man can do it. The evil conservative.
Listen, it'd be really easy to get rid of all the questions. Just show us the birth certificate.
He's the evil conservative.
Listen, sometimes somebody just has to say, it's an ugly baby.
Get it right.
Yes.
The evil truth. The evil conservative saying what America's thinking.
Weeknights at 10 on Liberty Works Radio Network. On Blind.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
There's a reason education is because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. It's the big, wealthy businesses that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they get by a system that threw them overboard. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible. And today, the sky is not the limit. But Chief, pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. Our guest is congressional candidate Robert Broaddus.
I guess when I say candidate, you said that you were going to file for the paperwork here at the end of September. But anyway, we left before the last break talking about a gentleman named John Brown. So maybe you could briefly explain to the listeners who John Brown is and what he did.
Certainly. John Brown was very upset about the system of slavery that he saw going on in the United States before the war between the states, and he decided to take matters into his own hands. He felt that God didn't condone slavery, and the race-based slavery we had was certainly unacceptable. So he got together his sons and a bunch of other people, went into Kansas. This was right after the Kansas-Nebraska Act, and became violent, tried to start a revolution on his own. And he did not actually succeed in ending slavery then, but he went on into the event called the Raid at Harper's Ferry, and he tried to start a slave uprising there, got about 5 African Americans and about 12 other people to join him in taking over the armory there, but he was cornered, and Robert E. Lee eventually came in, captured him. And he could have escaped. People actually hatched a plan to break him out. But he decided that fighting for this cause was more important. And his greatest success was actually at his trial, where he was able to lay out to the country the reasons why he did what he did. And he was executed. But after that, that is believed to be the event that launched the Civil War. John Brown, in his spirit of fighting for freedom, inspire the nation on a course that would actually bring about the end of slavery. And I put that on my page because most African Americans don't know who John Brown is. They don't even know that Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. They don't know the history of the Republican Party, and so they actually think that Republicans are racist. My job is to tell them the truth about the history of the Republican Party. Since I'm running as a Republican, and since the Democratic Party is actually the one doing the most harm to African Americans, even to this day, to tell them that they're doing the wrong thing giving their votes to Democrats, and that it's okay to vote for a Republican, especially one who's going to stand up for freedom, just like John Brown did.
Wow, that's powerful. And speaking of, you know, history and how little, we all probably know, more than we know, less than we should, but I was reading that like 75% of high school students in, I forget if it was Kansas or wherever, they don't even know who the first president of the United States was. So I always appreciate when there can be a little history on the show to try to enlighten people. Well, let's see. Why don't we talk about the...
Can I stay on that point real quick?
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
Public school education is one of the planks of the Communist Party platform, and the Communist Manifesto laid out by Karl Marx. And when we see what has happened, the actual brain drain that has been inflicted on our children who go to public schools, we realize that the actual intent is not to educate children, but to indoctrinate them in a way that they'll grow up to be voters for liberal policies and ultimately for socialism. And this is why our country is in the crisis it's in, because we are we are looking at the youth. It's not generally the older people. Most of the people at the 9/12 march were in the older generation. But it's the young generation who are going out and voting for Obama and voting for progressives, even though their whole intent is to remake this country. And this is something we should be, we should all be sounding alarm bells and saying there's something very wrong here. But they've been indoctrinated in our public schools to accept socialist policies. And again, that was something that, Karl Marx intended from the get-go. And we can talk about this later, but the income taxes as well.
Well, the just a comment about that word in progressive. Somebody was a real sharp guy or gal that decided to use that term progressive, you know, because I guess very few people question progressive, you know, progressing towards what? And you and I both know it's progressing towards collectivism and communism. And they found a nice, innocuous word like progressive. So every time I hear that word, you know, by somebody who is proud to wear the moniker, makes me cringe because, you know, I know exactly that that's just a code word for, you know, being a good communist.
Exactly, and I actually call it progression towards destruction because again, and if you look at a lot of the things Obama has said, if you look at my opponent who calls herself a progressive, Donna Edwards, you see that what they are really about is the destruction of wealth. What they are really about is the destruction of private property. And this is exactly what Karl Marx laid out in the Communist Manifesto. So when you see how their ideology lines up with the ideals of communism, and let's not be fooled by the words, because communism, socialism, progressivism, and modern liberalism, they're really all the same thing. But they change the terminology so that no one really knows what they're talking about. And like you say, they pick a nice sounding word like progressive because it sounds good, but it means something totally different to them, the people who are on the inside and in the know, than it does to someone who's on the outside and doesn't know.
That's exactly right. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about the income tax, since you said that, you know, a great deal of your, not a great deal, but I mean, a big part of your campaign, your beliefs, what you want to fight for relates to the income tax, apparently, because you believe that it's a foundational ill for the country, for the people. So could please expand on that a little more. I'll have to break in, let you know when the break's coming, but go right ahead.
Okay. What's interesting to me is I talk to a lot of people, and they say they like what Obama's doing. He's robbing from the rich and giving to the poor. He's like Robin Hood. And that shows me they don't even know anything about Robin Hood, because Robin Hood didn't go down to the local bazaar and start robbing the merchants. He robbed the sheriff of Nottingham and the lords and the nobles who were actually part of the government. What Robin Hood did was he actually was fighting the system of oppressive taxation. And he was taking back the taxes that the government had taken from the people and giving them back to the peasants and the farmers whom they had taken them from in the first place. And anybody who's read Atlas Shrugged is familiar with the pirate called Ragnar Donnegal, who did the same thing. He gave the money that was taken in income taxes back to the people. And that's what I want to do. I want to repeal the 16th Amendment and a few other of those progressive amendments that allow the government to reach into our pockets, take our money, and then redistribute wealth, not necessarily to the poor, but actually to groups like Acorn, groups like Halliburton, to their campaign contributors, to people who are going to help them get further on and make them look good. It doesn't, very little of that money actually gets back to the poor. So people are voting for something that really isn't benefiting them in the long run. Our nation, of course, was founded because people were upset about the oppressive taxation being imposed on us by the British king. And yet, we have adopted a philosophy that allows our government to take not just a small tax on tea, but a tax on every dime we earn and hoard it into its coffers to spend it on things we really don't approve of. And there's very little accountability. There's very little ability for us to track what's going on with that money. So it creates a culture of corruption. It creates an opportunity for government to essentially act as sort of gangsters, paying off their friends, participating in cronyism and nepotism, and never actually being answerable to the people. And that's what I think the 9/12 march was really about, is just, you know, how can you do this? How can you tax us and then never actually be accountable to us? When we look back over what's happened over the past year, we've seen the tarps, the bailouts, the buying up of the General Motors and Chrysler. All of these things have happened because there's an income tax in place that allows the government to use our money in ways we would never, ever approve of. And I find that to be highly immoral, but also bad government. So I'm going to be fighting that every step of the way. I'm going to be working with people like Ron Paul and anybody else who will support that view, because the income tax is the greatest source of corruption in our government.
How does that resonate with the people? Now, you're from Maryland, or you'd be running in Maryland. How does that resonate with the people in the 4th District?
It resonates very well. I would say that 90% of the people that I give my card to, and it's written plainly on my card that I want to end the IRS and end the income tax, they say they like it. But then I get a look of amazement by some people who just say, there's no way you can do it. When I explain to them that our country hasn't always had an income tax, that it was only created under, again, the progressives in 1913, they're kind of taken aback. Like, you know, what did the country do for money before then? Well, the country has lots of ways of making money. Now, certainly we couldn't spend as much as we do now if we didn't have an income tax. But it also reflects that people don't understand where the taxes actually go. The taxes aren't used to actually pay our bills. The taxes that the government collects, they collected back in 2008 about $1 trillion from individuals and maybe another trillion from corporations, and it uses that money just to pay the interest on the debt. You know, our debt right now is about $11 trillion and rising, and collecting only $2 trillion in taxes is never going to pay that off. And it's mathematically impossible to even restructure the tax code so that we could pay off our debt. So it's sort of like someone having a credit card where they keep charging things to the credit card, and the bank allows them to keep the credit card as long as they pay the minimum payment on their bill. And that's what our government is doing with our income tax. Meanwhile, they expand all their spending, they create more government agencies, they create more czars, they create more entitlements. Now we're trying to take over universal health care, and it's all going to be done under the illusion that we can pay for it with the income tax, but we really can't. We're just paying interest.
We only have about a minute left, and I presume that you would support the audit of the Federal Reserve, the bill that Ron Paul was the first sponsor of or created?
Definitely. I actually just met Dr. Paul and his son Rand 2 days ago, and we're actually interested in ending the Federal Reserve. But short of doing that, because we know our country is addicted to its ability to print money out of thin air right now, we at least want to be able to audit it, get in there, and see what they're doing. And H.R. 1207 has more than half the House of Representatives already co-sponsoring the bill. So at least as far as the House is concerned, I'm fairly confident that we'll pass. We've got to get it through in the Senate, too.
Do you expect a vote, there to be a vote on the bill at some point soon?
Well, it will be, but we've got to get through to to our representatives. We've got to get through to Nancy Pelosi. I was at a town hall with Steny Hoyer last week where Collins Bailey got up and asked him about this, about that, and several other people, and they asked about HR 1207.
Robert, we got a break. I'm sorry, we're just about to go to a break, so we'll talk about that when we come back. Our guest is Robert Broaddus, justiceandliberty.us.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. Liberty Works Radio Network.
The American dream was nurtured in the beginning by Thomas Jefferson, one of the greatest defenders of liberty in our history. It was Jefferson's words in the Declaration of Independence that proclaimed God's plan for government to be ordained. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. He clearly understood that history has proven government to be the tool of the greedy and the power hungry, that mankind, seeking safety, is forever falling into the trap of total reliance on government. He warned, "It is error alone that needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself."
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Hey, everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college? Energy? Mortgages? Whatever you like, you have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
The government can.
And who can tax the sunrise?
Yeah.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host. You can go learn about a little more about me at freedomabovefortune.com. You can also join the email list there if you'd like to learn about future guests and a little follow-up on guests that have come in the past on the show. Our guest is Robert Broaddus. He's going to be filing the papers here at the end of September to be a congressional candidate for the Republican Party in the 4th District of Maryland. And Robert's website is justiceandliberty.us. Isn't that cool? And so Robert was talking about a town hall meeting experience. We had to cut him off for the break. Robert, we got about 13 or 14 minutes in this segment before you depart, so go ahead and launch.
Sure. I was at the town hall, which was being held by Steny Hoyer, the majority leader in the Congress, to talk about health care. And I was mainly there to support Collins Bailey, who will be running against Steny Hoyer next year. So that's another guy to look out for. And another liberty-minded candidate. But when asked about the bill to audit the Fed, H.R. 1207, Steny Hoyer had no knowledge of it. And I find this completely surprising when over half of the House of Representatives is a co-sponsor for the bill. And this bill, of course, was introduced by Ron Paul. But how can you, as Majority Leader, just be so out of touch that you don't realize that there's a growing grassroots movement to keep track of what the Federal Reserve is doing? Collins Bailey asked an even more probing question and revealing question, which was, as far as this health care bill, is it actually going to reduce the debt, or is it going to increase the debt? And Steny Hoyer was unable to give an honest answer to that question because it cut to the chase on what this is all about, which is ruining our economy and basically driving this nation into the ground, perhaps even to a point where our only choice will be to adopt socialism, because any private commercial industries will not be able to survive with so much debt over their head. But the other thing that this brought to mind was how we've got to get involved and how we've got to get active on bringing to our representatives and bringing to the Democrats who are in power the message that we're not going to take it. And as I read Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged, I realized that she said, if we let them do this to us, if we let the socialists take over our government, it's our own fault. Anything that happens is because we go along with it. When we see people like Chuck Grassley in the Senate and Olympia Snowe and all these other so-called Republicans being willing to go out and support the health care bill and compromise on it, we're actually helping to engineer our own destruction. So what we have to do is basically what the people in the book did. We have to go galt. We have to go on strike. Now, I'm not saying, totally move to Colorado like they did in the book, but I'm saying let's send a message. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to file for office on September 30th, and I want to urge other people, if you can arrange it, don't do anything that's going to hurt yourself, but just call and take that day. Just take the day off, go spend the day with the kids, but don't show up at work. And when that message gets out, the Democrats will look around and they'll say, hey, how come half the people aren't here? How come I can't get things done today? There's no one here in the office. It'll dawn on them. This is what it's going to be like if you take our country to socialism. you're going to have to run this country without us because we're not going to participate. And that was actually one of the questions I asked Ron Paul the other night. I said, how are we going to fight this? I'm genuinely afraid. The Democrats control all the levers of power in the government. They're going to take our country down the tubes because that's what they want to do with it. They want to remake it into a socialist state. How can we fight back? What kind of tools can we use to withdraw? You may remember that Governor Rick Perry of Texas was talking about secession a few months back. Well, that immediately brought up charges of racism just because he used the secession word. But the reality is most people don't understand that secession is a tool to keep the federal government in check. So I said, Congressman Paul, how can we do this? And he said to me that we basically already are seeing a form of de facto secession. And that's what I'm talking about, is a de facto secession where we just choose not to participate. And we send that message on September 30th by just taking the day off of work to let them know, if you keep going down this path, you're going to go without us.
Well, I think that could be a powerful statement. And, of course, people can also just look around them in their own community and do their best to support both with, you know, spiritually and financially, with prayers and with their business, you know, take their business to those who support freedom-minded causes and running as fast as possible away from socialist causes and being able to recognize between the two. And, of course, you know, financially supporting people like you, which before we run out of time, how can people actually support you, Robert?
You can go to my website, www.justiceandliberty.us. Click on the donate page, and you can donate by credit card. You can donate by PayPal. You can also mail me a donation, 6368 Coventry Way, number 122, Clinton, Maryland, 20735. And all of that's on the website, in case you didn't get that. So there are many ways. You can also, you know, just send me an email if you live in the area, and just say, you know, come meet me somewhere, and I'll be glad to drive out wherever to pick up a donation, and also support. And support can come in many ways, not just money, but you can tell your friends about me. You can call in the radio shows and talk about me, or even just talk about the ideas. Talk about ending the IRS and the income tax. Because these are messages that go beyond me. These are messages that will restore our country to what it was actually designed to be, which is a republic based on freedom and liberty, not based on cronyism, nepotism, and gangsterism that we see in government.
Do you find that there's still a lot of people in your constituency who that your message resonates with, or do you feel like you're talking to people that, you know, you're using words like, you're not using words like secession, but I'm just saying like a simple word from history, do they have kind of a glazed look on their face, or do you think that, you know, you are tapping into some existing knowledge and something you can work with?
It's about 50-50 because, as I said, the public school system has failed to teach people the true history of our country. They don't know who the border ruffians were and the Jayhawks were. They don't know what a doughface is and what a copperhead is. They don't know that the Democratic Party was the party of the Ku Klux Klan, the party of Jim Crow segregation, that people like George Wallace, Bull Connor, Orville Faubus, that these were all Democrats. And they don't know that abortion and welfare and Planned Parenthood and all these other programs were actually created by eugenicists who didn't like minorities. So sometimes when I speak to people, I've got to take them through the short course in American history. I have to tell them about the creation of the income tax under Woodrow Wilson. I have to tell them about the League of Nations and the plans for global government that are in the works right now under the United Nations. And there's already an undercurrent. A lot of people, especially people who have supported the Green Party and Cynthia McKinney, have heard about this through other channels. They may not have watched Money as Debt, but they went to the website called Web of Debt, and they learned about the Federal Reserve through and the evils of the Federal Reserve through another channel. So sometimes I hit upon something that we have in common, but it has not come through a conservative venue, but through a liberal venue. But what really resonates, and what really I need to get across to my constituency, is that being an 80% African American district, we are of tradition conservative people. We believe in the Constitution as a rule of law. The Constitution is actually what ended slavery. We believe in capitalism. I'm finding very few people who actually don't think that our economic system should be based on money, and who think that if they had less money, they'd be better off. So we're capitalists as far as the rule of law. We're conservatives as far as the rule of law is concerned. We're conservatives as far as capital is concerned. And we're also conservatives regarding social values. Most African Americans are against abortion at will. They're against gay marriage. And they're against illegal immigration. So on all of these issues, we share conservative values, yet the Democratic Party has done a very, very effective job over the past 40 years of using the race card to bring African Americans and every other minority group to vote for liberal candidates, and the liberal candidates consistently vote against the interests of their constituents. There was an issue a couple of months ago where the people in my district wanted to build a soccer stadium for a Washington, D.C. soccer team that was going to be paid for with our tax dollars. Well, how does that benefit the residents of my district? It doesn't. It's just stealing from them to benefit big business, and a business that isn't even guaranteed to bring in a return on that investment. So fortunately, a lot of people got together, they got upset, they got involved, and they were able to force the county council to stop and nix the soccer stadium deal. But we've got to get active like that on all levels. People actually have to get involved at their local government, because right now people think that whenever anything goes wrong, they can go straight to the President of the United States. And that's actually the last person they should be thinking about, because the President has the least impact, at least under a under a republic, on what happens in your daily life. They should be looking at their mayors, at their city councils, at their school boards, and their county councils. And that's what I want to reinforce and bring back to the people in my area, is that this is how our government is designed to work. There's nothing wrong with it. We just have to be involved.
Very well. Very well said. Well, we only have a little less than a minute to go, so we'll just remind everyone that Robert Broaddus is running in the 4th Congressional District in Maryland. If you go to a search engine and type in Robert Broaddus, B-R-O-A-D-U-S, or Broaddus for Congress, you can find him through a search engine. His website, again, is justiceandliberty.us. And why don't you give out your mailing address one more time for those who aren't on the Internet.
Sure. It's 6368 Coventry Way, I'm sorry, number 122, Clinton, Maryland, 20735.
And that's Clinton, like in President Clinton?
Sure. it goes back way before President Clinton. I think the second Vice President of the United States was named Clinton, and it might even be named after a governor of New York who was also named Clinton.
I see. Okay, well, the show's just about over. We appreciate Robert joining us. We'll be here for the next hour, so come back. We're going to have William Lewis, producer of FEMA camps.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Overcome. Pass it on.
When Marlon Shirley was 5 years old, he was in an accident and lost his foot, but he didn't lose his heart.
When you tackle a challenge that you just cannot even fathom tackling, when you accomplish that, the amount of integrity and the will and the heart that you'll get from that experience is what will set you up for your life.
In less time than it took Marlon Shirley to say that, he can now run 100 meters because today he's the world's fastest amputee. Overcome. Pass it on.
America. Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Liberty Works Radio Network. Enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic. Helping you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation. Please, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details. Liberty Works Radio. Truth in broadcasting.
I pledge allegiance to the Constitution of the American States United and to the Republic which it created, implementing God's governmental plan for man and asking his blessing for its observance, which will provide liberty and justice for all. For all. For all. For all.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Shut up is the central rationale behind the leftist program. We've heard it expanded upon recently by Democrat bigwigs who want to bring back some version of the misnamed fairness doctrine to try to knock guys off the air. But even if the left can't turn shut up into law, they've worked hard over the years to make it the custom of the country. It's the essence of politically correct phraseology and university speech codes. Say it our way or shut up. It's inherent in the media's demonization of conservative commentators, the way they try to turn names like Limbaugh and Ann Coulter into bywords for intolerance so they'll just shut up. And why were there more than half a dozen movies attacking the war on terror and not one in support of it? Oh, wait, I know. Shut up. The left here has been making the shut-up argument at least since the 70s, when it became clear that all their other arguments had failed. Since it was the only argument remaining to them, they had to invent different ways to say it. If you pointed out that their weakness allowed the murderous tyranny of communism to expand, for instance, well, you were a McCarthyite. Shut up. If you proved that their leniency toward criminals turned our cities into cesspools, you were a fascist. Shut up. When you pointed out that their welfare policies destroyed black families and created a social disaster of vast proportions, you were a racist, a sexist, uncivil, worse than Hitler. All just different ways of saying, shut up. All around the world, as leftism has failed everywhere, shut-uppery has been called to its defense. The full-blown leftists, the communists, say shut up with prisons and guns. But the Western leftists, laboring under traditions of freedom, are suffering. In Europe, they've had more than 50 years of the sort of soft socialism the Democrats are now bringing here. Their anti-individualist, anti-religious, anti-patriotic policies have so sapped the energies of the European nations that the continent's once great cultures are now plastic and passive, fit for nothing but to be conquered in slow motion by the violent, intolerant Islamist invader within. But when people like Ayn Hirsi Ali, Geert Wilders, or Oriana Fallaci have the temerity to decry the left's empowerment of Islamist hatefulness, they're the ones brought up on charges of being hateful. Not because they're speaking falsely, mind you, but because, shut up. So now, the left is in charge of America. And shut up is on the march. Watch for that fairness doctrine. Beware of net neutrality. Pay attention to the ways the liberal mainstream news media distort, mock, insult, and exclude the conservative opposition. Listen to the people they don't want you to listen to. Whatever you do, don't shut up. Don't shut up. Don't shut up.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host. Our guest for the first hour was Robert Broaddus. He's a congressional candidate, or soon to be, here at the end of the month for the 4th Congressional District in Maryland. So we've interviewed someone who's going to get there into Washington and try to start cutting back on all this ugly stuff that's coming. Our guest for the second hour is a gentleman named William Lewis. He's the director of the new, I call it a blockbuster film, and I'm sure he would agree, called Camp FEMA. His prior projects include Washington, You're Fired, and Life on the Edge of a Bubble. I know there's a number of other films that he's produced or directed. Last week,
listeners may recall that I briefly had on the show Gary Franchi, who was basically the producer of Camp FEMA, and Gary came on for a few minutes. And so, you know, people might be thinking that all I do is eat and drink and sleep FEMA camps. That's not necessarily the case. I think it's an important issue, certainly a controversial issue. But it just so happened that the director, William Lewis, was available this morning, and the film is, you know, being released as we speak, or any minute, any day now. So I thought it was important to have William Lewis on. And again, it's a controversial issue, but I think primarily because people can't discern the fact from the fiction. And of course, there's people in the, should we say, the non-FEMA camp, the people who would like to mislead you that there isn't a framework being built up around us, making us, as Alex Jones calls it, a prison planet, a prison country. So without further ado, we're going to welcome to the show William Lewis. William, welcome to our show.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks very much for being here. Well, as I said, you know, there's lots of controversy, and I've heard you mention that there's lots of fact and lots of fiction mixed in, and I guess part of your job was to discern between the two and make a film about it. So why don't you tell listeners a little bit about yourself and your past films, and then we can launch into Camp FEMA.
Sure. I think most of your listeners will probably be familiar with the 2004 release of 911 in Plain Sight. And right after that, Beyond Treason, which of course dealt with depleted uranium, Gulf War illness, biological, chemical exposures. There was One Nation Under Siege, which I think is a great introductory film if you're not familiar with the New World Order and you want to get someone familiar with it in a kind of an easy, not necessarily under the table, but it's very sneaky, I think, the way it comes in and lays all this out so that it doesn't offend people who haven't heard this type of stuff before. And same thing with Washington, You're Fired. I think, you know, the basic layout of that documentary was, here's the basic facts and here's what you do about it, and kind of in that order before you even go on to the next topic. So we've kind of established several different ways that, or me personally, that I like to put these things together. And Camp FEMA really is going back to kind of the roots. It's not another 911 in Plain Sight, but I think you'll kind of get that eerie horror movie type feeling from it. It's just got this eeriness to it that makes it somehow appealing, I think, for some of the kids that you know, that we had sit down and watch it. I know John Statmiller's had a chance to watch a few people and get their reactions to it, and so far, you know, the public is very you know, giving us a very warm reception to this documentary, which is unusual simply because of the topic matter. But I think it's because we really do lay out a case based on documentation, based on Senate committee hearings and FBI documents, and are fearless leaders in Washington and legislation, and we show the mindset of our leaders in Washington along with the bills and the legislation that they're trying to pass in connection to these FEMA camps or these internment camps or these emergency camps, whatever you want to call them.
So why do you, what made you think that it was important to do a film? I mean, obviously the films you've mentioned before are on different topics. Government corruption sounds like it's a figures prominently in them. But what made you think that it was important to do a film on FEMA camps?
Well, Gary and I both have followed this topic for, I know, at least 10 years each. He pursued it independently of me, and we really only met about a year and a half ago when Washington Your Fire came out, and that was the first time that Gary had, met me or talked to me, and the first time I talked to him, and we just had this instant rapport, and I started telling him about future projects I was working on. He started telling me about future projects he wanted to work on, and then it just kind of came together. It was just... it was time to take internment camps out from the internet, off of the internet, and bring them into the real world and show people that this is not some type of an internet theory or a conspiracy theory on the internet or whatever you want to call it. It's far from that. And when you hear people in the media like Glenn Beck, completely ignoring all of the real hard facts, all of the things that we have on paper, the documentation that shows this, and only going for taking a photograph or a video of something and then analyzing it and saying, this isn't a FEMA camp. Well, that's fine. But what about all of the documentation that goes along with it? What about, he didn't talk about civilian inmate labor camps. He didn't talk about the Army brigade that's stationed in the United States that the Army... Scott Mill says, they're going to use these things in the event of civil unrest. So does Army Times, the website. I think it's just time to lay all these things out side by side. It was time to do something like this.
I see. Now, you use the word internment camp. Now, I would think that most of the public, and me if I hadn't researched this a little bit, would think that, FEMA is about a cot and some cold water and some food, when the tornado has hit and destroyed your house. And then after you find a place to live with your relatives or wherever, you say thanks to the FEMA officials for their help and helping you to survive for a few days, and then off you go. But an internment camp sounds like something a little bit different.
Well, if you go back to 1979, the executive order that actually set up FEMA was Executive Order 12127. This was under Carter's administration. And even back then, it absorbed, the Federal Insurance Administration, the Fire Prevention and Control Administration, the National Weather Service, just, a whole plethora of different agencies got put under the umbrella of FEMA. And then the United States Civil Defense, which was actually performed by the DOD's Defense Civil Preparedness Agency, that was moved under FEMA as well. So they took over civil defense for the nation. And you couple that with the fact that in 2003, after all these things have been moved to FEMA, Bush comes along, and then he takes FEMA and he moves that under the Department of Homeland Security's Emergency Preparedness and Response Directorate. Now it's a part of the Department of Homeland Security. And, the Department of Homeland Security, I'm sorry, but they have slightly different protocol, slightly different directorates that they follow. And, their primary directive is to protect the nation from dangerous people, not to swoop in and rescue people in the event of some type of a natural catastrophe, emergency, whatever. So, mainly through the Bush administration is where we see this a major shift in the public eye, at least, taking place. Now, we know that back in the 80s, there was, you know, Rex 84, the readiness exercise 1984 that took place, and then subsequently we found out in Senate Select Committee hearings that they had been planning for this continuity of government, as they called it, which, if you looked at their plans, was not really continuity of government. It was replacing the legitimate government with something that was not. There was funny, not necessarily funny, but in 1982, when this started coming out, John Brinkerhoff, who was a FEMA deputy, decided that he needed to write a memo suggesting some of the things that would happen in the event of a national emergency. And the Miami Herald got a hold of the memo and published parts of it. And in that memo, even back then, I mean, this is in the 80s, they said back then that they wanted to round up, their words, that they wanted to round up at least 21 million American Negroes and place them in internment camps. Now, that in itself should give people a very good idea of the mindset of this type of legislation and these type of executive orders, and the reason why executive orders that deal with continuity of government these days, they won't even let you look at them, like PDD 51, Presidential Directive 51. We know that it's for the continuity of government, continuation of government. But the problem is that if you look back, even back then, they wanted to replace duly elected officials with people that they had named, military commanders that they had designated to hold these offices. So they're talking about literally replacing duly elected officials, people that we put into office, with their military commanders.
What was the justification that this, I didn't catch his name, but that you wanted to round up American Negroes? What, did he have some kind of reasoning as warped as it would be as to why he picked American Negroes and why 21 million?
Well, we go and try and connect that to the counterintelligence programs that were taking place at the same time under Hoover in the FBI. And it's a lot of the same wording. It's really bizarre. So, I personally think that this is just a continuation of this underground government that we've seen or that we haven't seen. It doesn't make any difference. COINTELPRO took place under four different presidents, and those were horrific, call it what you want to, programs that were intended to take people that were involved in political dissent, whether it was peaceful or not, and whether you were white or whether you were black, it didn't make any difference. They were targeting these people, and they would go to their employers, and they would go to their moms and dads, and they would go to whomever they needed to. They would threaten them in some cases, and in other cases, they would simply get them to, convince their child or their mom or their husband or whomever this might be they're talking to withdraw from the movement. So what we did is we compared some of the horrific things that we saw in the COINTELPRO programs because they so closely mimicked some of the things that we were seeing in that more current form, which was the Rec 84.
So one thing, we're just about to go to a break here, so you might not be able to respond to my point, but it seems that clear that there's like this continuity of an agenda, whether we could, I'm sure, probably go back even further than 1979, but that's the kind of the initial point that you mentioned 30 years ago. And it's almost like there's this wizard, behind the curtain, or a group of wizards who, are at the levers and controls, and they know what the end game is. They know where they want to be, and there's just this constant march, step by step. Sometimes they might have to take a step back or two, but always a step forward into tyranny. So we are coming to a break, and I'll let you respond to that after the break. Our guest is William Lewis, director of Camp FEMA. You can go to campfema.com and learn more about it. We'll be right back.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. The cheaper. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Liberty Works Radio Network.
It's the truth that no one else will say on the radio.
The philosophy of Barack Obama is predicated on one simple notion, and that's that it's okay to take from one person to give to another.
It's okay to take from one person to give to another.
He's the evil conservative saying what America's thinking.
Barney Frank, Tim Geithner, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid. I want to know who's controlling these Muppets. Who's controlling these Muppets?
Truth to power.
It's the truth that no one else will say on the radio.
Only one man can do it, the evil conservative.
Listen, it'd be really easy to get rid of all the questions. Just show us the birth certificate.
He's the evil conservative.
Listen, sometimes somebody just has to say, it's an ugly baby.
Get it right. Yes, the evil truth.
The evil conservative saying what America's thinking.
Weeknights at 10 on Liberty Works Radio Network, on Blog Talk Radio, and on the Eagle.
Several months ago, I watched as Sarah Palin delivered an inspiring speech to the nation, and I was proud to be a conservative. Today's celebration reminds me of just how blessed I am to be an American. When I was given the opportunity to compete in the Tropicana Speech Contest, I knew that I would write about something dear to me, my freedom. My speech is entitled America's Freedom and is dedicated to my great-grandmother Lev, who recently passed away at the age of 95. What do you think about when I say the word freedom? Some think about America being a free country, and others just think about having rights and being free. You probably think this speech is about freedom, but no. It is about how Americans are slowly losing their freedoms. My parents have taught me to love my country, and I appreciate the blood that was shed for our freedom. From the beaches of Normandy to the sands of Iraq, Americans have paid a great price so we could live free. Sadly, many among us just don't seem to care about the sacrifice it took to build this great nation. It seems as though we are more interested in our own pleasures than preserving our independence and liberties. Truth is, there's many who want to change our way of life, who don't respect the great traditions of America. These are the same people who support the growing attack upon our private property in the name of environmental protection, or the recent talk of limiting free speech with the Fairness Doctrine. Now, there's a twist for you. How can it be fair if the people don't get to choose for themselves? Where is the freedom in that? Then there are those who continually attempt to shoot down our right to bear arms promised by the Second Amendment. On a personal level, we've seen independence, self-reliance, and individual responsibility replaced with complacency and apathy. Today, many of our schools don't teach the values and patriotic pride that my parents were taught just a few years ago. Yeah, a price may have been paid on the battlefield, but the war is far from over. If we don't act now, before it's too late, we won't have any freedoms left, and America will no longer be the America we know and love. John Adams said it best when he wrote, "A constitution of government once changed from freedom can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever." I believe we have a patriotic responsibility to stand up to those who seek to destroy these constitutional freedoms. If you believe in the values and principles that made this nation great, and if you enjoy the freedoms we have as Americans, then join me. Join me in standing up to those who seek to destroy these freedoms. Join me in taking back this great nation and protecting our independence and liberties. Because you can make a difference. I can make a difference. And together, we will make a difference. Thank you, and God bless.
No Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host. Our guest this hour is director William Lewis. The film that was released, I guess the official release date was actually yesterday, September 18th. It's called Camp FEMA, and you can go to campfema.com for more information and to actually order the film.
Before the break, I kind of had posed a question or comment about the ongoing nature of these, the implementation of all these things that seem to be leading to tyranny, at least for those that those of us that pay attention to this. And then off air, William was basically talking about these directives that FEMA, that governs FEMA, and but I think he's going to describe those directives as kind of an answer to my question about this ongoing nature for decades progressing towards some end game.
Yeah, we were able to determine that FEMA basically has three different directives. All right, directive number one is their national emergency recovery, whether that be nuclear event or some just, tornado, flood, earthquake, whatever. All right, then directive two is continuity of government, and of course that spans all administrations. These are usually executive orders that are put into place that supersede Congress, supersede, I don't want to say they supersede the president, but when they can be created by the president or someone under him, and then they can be continued from one administration to the next without checks and balance, that to me is a strange system of continuity of government. And then directive three is combating perceived threats to the existing social and political order. I'm going to say that again because that's a long one. Combating perceived threats to the existing social and political order. We keep seeing that phrase come up, protecting the existing social and political order, over and over again. It comes up in Senate Select Committee hearings. It comes up in the COINTELPRO operations from the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. It comes up in the FBI documents that have been released to Project Megiddo. I mean, those exact words about protecting the existing social and political order were in documentation that was issued by Janet Reno under the Clinton administration back in the 90s. This was under a project called Megiddo, where they were basically alerting law enforcement officers that you might want to be on the lookout for people who are interested in protecting their property rights, people who believe in gun ownership, people who homeschool their children, people who believe there could be a Y2K virus, computer bug. Those people were all lumped together in one category and called potential militia. And back then, even now, of course, to be called potential militia is like being called a potential homegrown terrorist. It has the same connotation to it because nobody likes those evil militia members. I mean, like, that's their mentality. All right, so what we did is we followed these directives, and I think we've got a really very nice outline in the documentary that's very easy to follow. And we go through a presentation on national emergency recovery and give them a grade. And then we go through continuity of government, and we let Alex say his little piece about, this treasonous activity going on in our country. And then we get to directive number three, which is basically the rest of the documentary, which, is combating this perceived threat to the existing social and political order, because that's how all these internment camps, and that's how all of this, brainwashing. You have to go back and look at the way they've done this in other governments that turned totalitarian or into a dictatorship or whatever. All right, and if you look at the German history back in the 40s, what they were doing was demonizing the Jews. And this is something that was necessary to do so that in the eyes of the public, when it came time to round up these Jews and whatever they had planned for these Jews that no one knew about, it would be okay to do it because, you know, it's akin to calling someone a potential homegrown terrorist or a domestic terrorist or whatever you want to call them. And once you've given people that label, it makes it much, much easier in society for people to accept whatever punishment the government is handing out to these people, whether it's real or not.
So they're kind of following a game plan in terms of having some group or groups that are the enemy, and they believe perhaps, and I mean, I guess there's historical precedent that having this enemy, they will whip up a sentiment against that enemy and convince people that, you know, whatever the government wants to implement should be implemented to vanquish or at least to hold in check this enemy.
Yes, and it's worked in this country before. You go back to the 1940s internment of Americans of Japanese descent, and the type of rhetoric that they had to create wasn't very difficult at the time. Keep in mind, we were in World War II, and, you know, Pearl Harbor had been bombed, and there was a genuine concern, especially on the West Coast, that these types of activities, terrorist-type activities, might be carried out by groups or cells of Japanese Americans who had migrated to the United States. So, I mean, their entire allegiance to our country was called into question, regardless of the length of time that they had lived here, whether they were natural-born citizens or not. In fact, some very illegal activity that took place back then was that they used the 1940 census information. In other words, the information they collected in the 1940 census was turned over to the White House, turned over to the feds, and they were allowed to, you know, they were allowed access to this information so that they could determine if you were at least 1/6% Japanese American blood. And it turned out that you were 1/6 American, or 1/6 Japanese American heritage. You got added to this list, and you got, you know, you were going to be rounded up if you didn't just turn yourself in when they put the posters up, because that's what they did. They passed, you know, they basically passed a law that said, or an executive order that said, Japanese people of 1/6% blood or higher cannot occupy these particular territories of the United States. And then they used that law to justify rounding up all the Japanese Americans who lived within those areas. And they put them in football stadiums, and they put them in fairgrounds and horse stadiums. And, you know, wherever they had broom and a big fence, this is where they were supposed to be put. And they rounded them up and kept them there for about 6 months because the internment camps hadn't been built yet. And they would take busloads of these people and ship them off to these remote locations, and they would force them, you know, forced labor, to build the very camps that they were later going to be interned in. I mean, they have their system down. They know what they're doing. And unfortunately, I think that they've only perfected it since then. If you look at the 2010 census information that's going to be taken, this, again, is another warning sign. Michelle Bachmann, Congressman Bachmann, has been speaking out about this 26, 27-page census form that every sixth person in the United States is going to have to fill out. Every sixth person is going to get this long form. There's, of course, a lot of speculation and conjecture about what types of questions are on it because they haven't been released yet. Our best inside sources are saying that there are indeed questions on this census that, you know, delve into your gun ownership and things of that nature. Whether you own a firearm, do you keep it locked up? Do you have a safety issues and things of that nature that may seem innocuous to some people but are very invasive if you realize what they're doing. They say that they're going to knock on your front door 6 times, and upon the 6th attempt, if they can't get you to let them in so that you can fill out this questionnaire, they're going to start knocking on your neighbor's door. They're going to start going around to your neighbors and asking them phone numbers, you know, where does he work, who do you know that are, you know, people that are related to him, things of that nature. They're going to start making a list of information so that they can then go out and ask those people the types of questions that they want to know about you. And the scary thing about that is that all of the census takers this year are going to have GPS trackers, little boxes, a little device that they have on them. It's portable. They're supposed to walk up to 40 feet of your front door and point this little device and hit a button, and it's going to record the GPS coordinates of your front door. So now they're going to know what you think, what you believe, what your political beliefs are, whether you own a firearm or not, perhaps. All these very intrusive and invasive questions, they're going to know all this information about you, and they're going to know exactly where you live because they're going to have the GPS coordinates to your front door. That's scary.
Just a little bit. wow, especially the part, yeah, about the neighbors, and I guess even if you're on good terms with your neighbors, you know, if they're not people that might be as courageous as you or care about, you know, where this is all is leading, boy, just think of the data that that the Census Bureau could accumulate. I'm sure the government and or shadow government is just licking their chops at the kind of data that they're going to get over the census.
Absolutely, because then they get to tie it into their MIAC databases. All right, I mean, keep in mind, there's a lot of stuff going on here, a lot of databases being kept on the American people that we have no clue about. You know, they've got fusion centers set up around the United States to collect this type of information. Some of this information is being funneled down by the Department of Homeland Security in connection, of course, to the no-fly list and their terrorist watch lists that they have, which by now I believe they say has about 1.5 million people on it. And literally tens of thousands of people don't belong on this list. And they readily admit this, that there's tens of thousands of people on this list who shouldn't be on this list. But right now, they don't have a better way of getting the people who are on the list off the list who shouldn't be there. So, you know, it's one of those lists where you don't know how you get on it, and you don't know how you get off. but I can tell you how you get on it, personally. All you have to do is go through and look at the Department of Homeland Security reports and the MIAC reports that are coming out of my own state here in Missouri, where they're talking about people who oppose gun control, who oppose Federal Reserve, who oppose the United Nations or the North American Trade Union or whatever, you know, people who use terminology like the New World Order, people who talk about income taxes, people who don't like radio frequency identification, people who don't like abortion, people who don't like legal immigration. All those people are on this list being lumped in together as one group. They're being called potential militia members, and they're being called homegrown terrorists. Now they're linking them. They're linking them to third-party candidates like Ron Paul and Bob Barr and Chuck Baldwin, who are all three named specifically in the MIAC report. And we were lucky enough to get Chuck Baldwin to come in this particular documentary and give us some scope and some perspective about why would the government want to demonize this particular group of people. This didn't start under the Obama administration. This actually started under the Bush administration. The same types of people were being watched. Why? Because these are the people, the gun owners, and the people who are aware of what's going on with income tax, or the people who are afraid of radio frequency identification because they know where that can lead. These are the types of people that they have to demonize now so that people will not listen to your message. I mean, this is what it's all about. It's about, you know, it's about their propaganda being stronger than the number of individuals out there who are promoting the truth and trying to get the truth out on radio programs. Perhaps you're making DVDs, you might have a website set up, maybe you go into chat rooms you talk to this in person with people, your neighbors, your friends, your family members. They're
join the cavalcade to freedom,
like
the cavalcade back to
like
constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship to view the strategic
go
plan,
for break.
To spread
we'll
the
right
word, and to get information
guest,
on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444. To join the cavalcade to freedom. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Along with Samuel Adams, Patrick Henry was most instrumental in establishing the American dream. Henry made the following plea.
The battle, sir, is not for the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. There is no retreat, but in submission and slavery, our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard upon the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. Oh, gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is none. The war has already begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north shall bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Is life so dear and peace so sweet to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Give me liberty or give me death.
Patrick Henry, one of the foremost framers of individual and religious freedom, a son of liberty and the American dream.
The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
There's a reason education's because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. It's the big, wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they get by a system that threw them overboard. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Norman Rockwell didn't create the best in us. He just inspired the best. You've seen the paintings. The Thanksgiving turkey being served at Grandma's. The weathered farmer sending his baby-faced son off to college.
Now be sure and write.
The wise police officer sitting at the soda bar, talking a young boy out of running away from home.
Where are you going?
Norman Rockwell didn't create the best in us. He just inspired the best. Inspiration. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. Our guest is William Lewis. He's the director of Camp FEMA, a new movie that was just released yesterday. You can go to campfema.com for more information about the film. It's a must-see. I highly recommend it. You can also go to takebackwashington.com for information about William's prior documentaries, including Ripple Effect, 9/11 or 911 in Plain Sight, One Nation Under Siege, and Washington, You're Fired. Well, before the
break, we were talking about just this whole ugly setup, and I couldn't help but notice that, you know, when William was talking about the third directive of FEMA, combating these perceived threats to social and political order. And then the fact that who is it, you know, especially over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, the evidence shows that the government is very upset with. It's people that are gun owners, people who are concerned about the government. They're concerned about the level of illegal immigration. They're concerned about RFID chips in people. They're concerned with a whole myriad of issues that relate to just plain freedom and justice and staying away from tyranny. And it occurred to me that we are the threats. We are those threats to the social and political order. And if people that are that like freedom are the threats to the social and political order, then that should tell you what the social and political order is, or what they want to protect. And that must be collectivism and tyranny. Because people that are opposed to tyranny are the targets. So would you agree with that summary, William?
Yeah, I think that sums it up exactly what's going down here. We're seeing a number of government agencies, state agencies, call them what you want. They're, you know, information collection agencies, just to collect information on you and me. These fusion centers around the country are putting out reports that demonize basically all of the Christians, because, I mean, what Christian, you know, most of the Christians out there believe in abortion. I know every Baptist I know believes in gun rights, all right? And if they're, you know, if they've kept up on their facts and they're investigating this information from themselves and using alternative media sources, then they also know about the Federal Reserve or the United Nations. Or if they attend church, they know about the New World Order, because their pastor, if he's worth 2 cents, is talking about the New World Order. How can you not talk about some of this stuff right now? You know, radio frequency identification chips alone, you know, numbers, scores of references in scripture. If you want to believe that we might be chipped someday by these radio frequency identification devices that will be able to follow you with satellites and track everything that you do. And they're coming at us in, you know, a number of different ways with just that technology alone. I don't want to get sidetracked on radio frequency identification, but it's another one of those topics that I'm very passionate about. But anyway, getting back to the reports, yeah, we're definitely seeing a concerted effort, and it's not hidden anymore. They don't try to disguise this. All right? They're coming after people who want to, you know, hang on to their Bill of Rights, people who want to protect and defend the Constitution, and people who are just fed up with what they see is an intrusive government, an intrusive federal government especially, who does not, you know, no longer cares about the rights of its individuals or its citizens, but is only interested in controlling and quailing dissent and, you know, maintaining this existing social and political order that we talk about.
So it appears, you know, I haven't seen the film yet. As I said, my son's already, he beat me to it and ordered the film. So I'll be in line behind him to get a copy. But it appears that the movie, you know, it's called Camp FEMA, and it certainly, there's a central theme about, you know, that obviously I think most Americans, most people would look at being put in an internment camp as, you know, right there up there with torture and death as far as ending up somewhere. Yet it seems like the film is very comprehensive, that it gets into all these different issues and really gives people a big picture of what's going on, rather than just focusing on, you know, did they get video of some barbed wire and some buildings? Although I imagine that you've got evidence of that too. Is that true? I mean, it is a very comprehensive film, and that's why anyone, I would think anyone that's listening to the show, if you have any beliefs about being against abortion, wanting to protect your rights, whatever rights we have left, you know, that's going to get you on an enemies list for the existing social and political order. You know, think about that, people. Is that something that you want? Is that something you're interested in? So it sounds like that's what the film addresses.
Yeah, well, we've really gone off here in our discussions here, you know, talking about all of the documentation, and we really haven't focused in yet on any of the legislation. We do heavily try to show people in the documentary, of course, everything that we just pointed out on this program. All of this demonization of patriots and Christians and truth movement, meet people, whatever, you know, whatever your beliefs are, they're somehow being demonized at this point and lumped all into the same category of potential domestic terrorists. And you really can't get into a topic of internment camps without trying to explain to people why you would need them in the first place. What are you going to do with them? Who are you going to put in there? You know, what's the purpose? So we have to obviously get into that type of a discussion of who would they want to round up? Who does the government consider the biggest threat? But legislation, H.R. 645, that's the Emergency Centers Establishment Act. This was a piece of legislation that was introduced by Alcee Hastings of Florida, and it mandates that the federal government turn over the money to build, or not necessarily build, but renovate is the best word to use. They want to take existing military facilities around the country in at least six of these FEMA zones, and they want to turn them into these, what they call emergency centers, complete with schools, complete with Department of Transportation and Public Works, complete with medical facilities. Everything that you need for daily life would be in one of these camps. And I guess the most frightening aspect of that is the relationship between what we saw happen in the 1940s and what they are wanting to establish to legitimize these internment camps with H.R. 645. The Japanese internment camps had medical facilities. They had schools. They had all of these things that they're wanting to put into these emergency centers that they're going to build now. And as many people, Alex is pointing out that I think a lot of these, a lot of what's going on in society right now with the financial collapse and people being homeless, losing their car, losing their job, losing their, you know, pretty much everything, that the homeless rate is increasing and the jobless rate is continuing to increase. And I think we see approximately 600,000 new cases of unemployment each month now. And that is, you know, that is having a domino effect. And it may not be that they try to sell us these FEMA camps or these emergency camps under the guise of rounding up potential domestic terrorists. They could come at it from a different angle. They could say anyone who doesn't want to take the swine flu vaccine is going to have to go into some type of an emergency quarantine so that you're not exposed and so that no one else is exposed to you. They could use the financial collapse to do it. They could advertise these camps as a wonderful place to go. If you don't have a home, come here. We'll provide you with one. If you don't have food, come here. We'll feed you. You know, and in a situation like that, some of our guests have pointed out that people are going to be begging to get into the camps. It's going to be, you know, a very strange psychological warfare operation that's going on in this country. Speaking of that.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I noticed that Elsie Hastings is from like South Florida area. Did you see any information that indicated that he's, you know, the cover for this is, you know, tornadoes and hurricanes and things like that, but actually there's an ulterior motive?
Yeah, it is mentioned. You know, those particular aspects are mentioned as justification in the bill, but there are provisions that kind of give you, you know, an uneasy feeling in your gut when they start talking about using these camps for events of civil unrest and those types of national emergencies. And so what we had to do was go through and find other legislation and other things that were going on in the country, especially within our own army and our military, that, you know, that meshed with this H.R. 645. What we were able to come up with here, and I think a lot of people are familiar with this, is the Army brigade that's been stationed here in the United States, brought over from Iraq and Afghanistan, where they were trained to intern dangerous, you know, probably truly legitimate terrorists over there. Now they're being brought home, they're being brought here to the United States, and we see, you know, articles on the Army.mil and on the ArmyTimes.com website, and these are, you know, these are coming right out of the Department of Defense, articles that explain to us what they truly want to use these brigades for. And yeah, they do want to use them in the event of some type of a national emergency, but they also mention in this report that they want to use these, you know, these brigades in the event of some type of civil disturbance, civil unrest, some type of a national emergency where you have to be called out to use, you know, massive non-lethal weaponry and round up people. And, you know, it doesn't take much imagination to see where this could potentially go. And you couple that with the fact that we see the National Guard putting out advertisements on Monster.com to hire what they call internment and resettlement specialists. And this is not fiction, people. I know that the ad had been pulled from the National Guard website, but we were lucky enough to get there and get a copy of it before they pulled it down and put it in the documentary so that people can see the mindset. They literally talk about how great and wonderful this job would be. Don't you want to be a part of the internment resettlement specialist program? And, you know, you can sit down and explain to the intern people what their rights are. I can tell you now they're none. But, you know, you can search for contraband and take your prisoners on their daily walks outside of the compound. And, you know, it makes it's an advertisement for this really wonderful secretarial-type position, you know.
Like,
it makes it sound really great.
Yeah, just advertisement for tyranny, you know. It's really an enjoyable pursuit. Well, we're just about out of time for this hour. Our guest has been William Lewis. He's the director of Camp FEMA, the movie Camp FEMA. You can go to campfema.com. His other films, Ripple Effect, 9/11 in Plain Sight, One Nation Under Siege, and Washington, You're Fired, can be found at takebackwashington.com. And let's see, we've got about a little less than a minute. So any just final thoughts from you, William?
Oh, wow. Well, I don't want you to think that this movie is that dark. I mean, there are some... I made it deliberately eerie and kind of horrific, like you might sit down and watch a horror movie, because personally that's the style of documentary that I like, and I think a lot of people do. But there's some great solution segments in this as well. I mean, we've got Jeffrey Grupp, James Lane, Charlie Meadows, Larry Pratt, Catherine Bleich, Michael Banerick. Chuck Baldwin, John Statmiller, Alex Jones, just loaded up complete here with people in different parts of the truth movement and the patriot movement who are trying to get this information out, explaining to you how we can use states' rights and the 10th Amendment to reverse some of these things that we see going on in our country, like the legislation to legitimize internment camps.
Excellent. We're going to be going. Sorry, you can't hear the music. Everybody, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Thanks to William Lewis. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Dad, where did the clouds come from?
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl? Why are shirts orange?
Actually,
Dad, why don't you have any air on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is there brown? Why can't I fly?
Why can't I fly?
Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
As long as 60 years ago, when I first started to read newspapers, I read of floods on the Yellow River and the Yangtze. Well, who rushed in with men and money to help? The Americans did, that's who. They have helped control floods on the Nile, the Amazon, the Ganges, and the Niger. Today, the rich bottom land of the Mississippi is underwater, and no foreign land has sent a dollar to help.
The Liberty Revolution is on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Looking for a good way to help others who are helping others? Let the Eagle 104 advertise your ministry or service organization. Your gift will support this Faith and Freedom broadcast airtime costs at the same time. Come join this Faith and Freedom Given to Others advertising campaign. Contact me, David Allen Carmichael, toll-free 888-850-1872 or online at faithfreedoms.org.
Give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can. Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the
trees? Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can.
2 minutes until showtime.
The government takes everything we make to pay for all of their souls. Healthcare, climate change, pollution. Throw away the Constitution. And who can give a bailout?
Who can give a bailout?
Tell us to behave.
Tell us to behave.
And make the founding fathers roll over in the grave. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can. Well, as I make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make. They're power hungry and malicious. Their economics are fictitious. Soon we'll have to eat our dishes.
1 minute until showtime.
Oh, who can be a failure? Self-raise the government. Oh, the government can. And the government can. Government it up. Well, as I say, it all tastes good.
It all tastes good.
And your uncle's.
sarcasm makes it all taste good.
Makes it all taste good.
And I feel so good, cause the government says I should.